much better shows than I know the days that you had the acoustics, the sound system. There was no sound system to St. Barbara's. There was a man called Mr. Singh, who lived in Lakefoot's Lane, who was the first man ever built at the first true at the first in Barbados that was used by the bands and was used by the hi-fi men. In those days, the vocalist would sing through the guitar mic, the guitar amplifier. In those days, the bass amp was the mother fiddle. Until then, it was rectified and you had the bass being amplified. So here, years ago, most of the shows were done acoustic. But you had situations where the initiative in Barbados were people who were willing to have the entertainment along. I remember doing a show at the Bridgetown Plaza, Battle of the Giants. This was when Jackie, and as I said, let me include this here, my being involvement, and I tell you from back in 1952, my being involvement in show business, and I don't know how it was so convinced and so guaranteed by a man called Dalton Bishop that everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right, no problem. Everything. So there was that. Whatever he wanted done, I did. So we did several shows across the island.
Mark, when did you first meet Jackie Opel so it could actually get to this point?
The connection was that I worked in Bridgetown at Fogarty as a cash boy. In those days, I was like, I really wanted to go to see, I wanted to be a seaman. So every day, I would go down on the wharf, hoping that somewhere along the line that I would be lucky enough to get a job to go to sea. I wasn't that lucky, but I was lucky in meeting a little man called Dalton Bishop, who took liking to me, and I took liking to him. We became like brothers. We never offended each other in any way whatsoever. And he listened. He was an artist, an excellent, hot-headed artist, but he listened. We became friends from then, and I did several shows for him. I did the Bridgetown Plaza. I did the Oyster Plaza. I did the Roxy, and each of those shows, I had to borrow the money to pay for the venue. In those days, the Bridgetown Plaza was $120. And the show that we booked for we were dependent on advance sales. Unfortunately, the day when we were supposed to go and pay the cinema, the very day, the lady who was working for Mr. Giddens as the secretary gave me until 4 o'clock office time to get the money in. That was the borrowed money. $120. We paid for the Bridgetown Plaza. And it was one of the most beautiful shows Barbados have ever seen. We had people all outside the cinema trying to get in. And unfortunately, they were left on the outside. We had another show at the Good Relief, and it was $100 to pay for the Good Relief. We did not have that money. And again, that took me to a man called Mr. Price, who had owned the Zanzibar Club. And he loaned me the $100 for not understanding that the first $100 I collect at the door, he says, so he would be at the door collecting that money, which he did. And when he collected his $100, he left the door and leave us to man the night. Now, I'm saying that those are days when a promoter had a challenge. A promoter had a challenge in terms of finding the funds for the event, making sure that the event is put in place, and also of the understanding that there has to be another show. I've had several shows that I remember. Night the Pointer Sisters was at the stadium, thanks to Norman Bauer. I did all the work for that show. Security, Everybody got paid. And I was the only body that was told to wait till when the show finished. He got a win to Norman, and Norman called me by the soundboard. Look, I know him. I said, he said, there's any truth in it that everybody has been paid for this production, including me, and you have not been paid? I said, Norman, that's true. I was told I would get the money after the show. Norman says, no, that is the first time I knew that on and off switch on the soundboard is the show. People don't seem to understand the on and off switch is extremely important to production.
Correct. You are right.
That's right. Norman says, no way. I will not be working for money. People are getting paid and you're not getting paid. This show is not going to go on until you get your money. This is when he was working as an agent now for the Trinidad promoter. So it said, so then he called and he said, I will get the money. He came with his board, he said, I'll get the money in the morning. He says, no, I said, no, we'll get the money tonight. Oh, no, sure. Anyhow, arrangements was made, and one of the girls said she had the money at the hotel. And if I can get somebody to take her back to the hotel, I will get paid. And the promoter has no way doing that. So I got paid, and the show went on a little bit late. But that goes to show you the determination and the things that I put up with as far as shows and barbers is concerned. What I must also say here now, that there was a time in Barbados when, like going back to the area of Jackie Opel, when, and the community effort in Barbados was always there. There was times in Barbados when you passed by a shop and there was somebody playing the guitar, somebody with shirts, and they was enjoying themselves. Happy occasion. Then eventually we saw the transformation of shows, which obviously had to change from around 1970-74, where then a lot of people who really did not have show business at heart got involved with an understanding that it has a lot of money in it. Some of them came and failed. Some of them were successful. Some of them promised people shows that was not delivered. Up to the day I am living down the Yellow Man show.
What happened there?
I never had any connection with the Yellow Man show. It's because of my ability to put on shows that people assumed that it was my show. Mm-hmm. But the young lady who was the promoter did something that was never done, because she was able to get Yellow Man into Barbados without a deposit.
Wow.
He said that Regency. The position that she was in, she was able to get the stadium to a particular position without payment on it. But when they went to the stadium tonight, Yellow Man went to the stadium tonight to perform. Unfortunately, again, the stadium was not ready. So I got blamed for an event that I was not involved in. And the biggest crowd I've ever seen at the Nation, at the stadium, was the Yellow Man show. Then I came down and I was involved with the Tiger show. I don't know if you remember the Tiger show. So we took Tiger into a venue should have been into a venue like the stadium. But we took Tiger into a little venue in Cheapside.
Oh, legendary show that. Legendary show, Mark. My gosh. I was at home listening to the radio. I couldn't get down there. It was just like Federation down there, from what I understand. Oh, my. It was live on Liberty 98.1. Admiral was the host. I remember that.
That's a fact. And what was beautiful about that the show was an 8 o'clock show. And all up in 2 o'clock. All up in 3 o'clock, people were assembling out on the post office building. And By 7 o'clock the night, the road was blocked. The road between Redmond's Road, which is the road that was taken down, I wish if it was, and the cut-off point, I was up by some Street. So all in there was a pedestrian landfill. But again, they could not get in. So Tiger came, and Tiger started to perform. And people insist, well, look, I ain't come there for anything. I come there to hear Tiger. And this is when people threw stones and bottles on the inside. So there's a mad rush to clear the venue. And that was what happened. I made an oath from then that I will not get involved with a Jamaican show. In all fairness to the act, I would help the person. But it would not go after, because I could not estimate that Barbadians were so supportive of the Jamaican artists.
Well, let me tell you this, Mark. At that time, Tiger had the remake of Melba, Obia Wedding, and he had Rap on Rhythm. But before then, he had songs like Bam Bam and Puppy Love. And Tiger was as big then as Vybz Kartel is now, for those who need to understand that. Absolutely huge. Sluggy, absolutely huge.
True.
He was big. He was big. He was big. He was big. And let me tell you something. I could not believe. Can you imagine that the bodies were so thick in between Redmond's Road, which Sheffield was on, and the crossroad there, Literary Road, I think that's it, up by St. Mary's Church, that people were just on top of people.
Mark, they had people in the trees, people on top of roofs, people on top of paling. Every possible vantage point was taken that night.
Well, unfortunate, that was one that they had to do a settlement insurance-wise.
Wow.
And it wasn't much, it was an understanding, because normally what people seem to think that when you have an event, it is open like that, but you have to have all the protections for patrons and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunate, the garage at the back, which is Adam's garage, the roof to that garage cave in.
That's right.
Some people got damaged, and some vehicles got damaged. And we were able to meet the commitment as far as the insurance was concerned based on that. So I'm giving these stories that this is probably the first time I'm giving a different angle of my promotion from what I've given Larry. I've given an understanding that I admire what Sluggy's doing. He has to be determined to face what is happening now. Because there was a time in this country when the bands and the entertainers were, I will put it this way, they were from the community. They knew each other. Bula from down in Goodland knew everybody from the telco. So it was an understanding of people going. But then it moved to another level where the schools became mainstay of entertainment. Harrison College, Foundation, Lodge, all these things became then the fundamental aspect of entertainment at Barbados. So you had the division between there. You had the division even between the schools. You had the division between the community fellas. But I always maintained that the entertainment came from the community. Beautiful entertainment. I did a show After Dark, Valentine's show, which stands out as one of the major shows in Barbados.
And the video show on CBC for years.
The Valentine of Sardar.
That's right.
Right. Taylor, who played with Taylor's dead now. The evening we rehearse, these are stories you can't let pass. The story we rehearse, unfortunately, our drummer did not turn up because he was working down on the course. And we had to get a drummer to fit in. And Taylor from, what band he played with, the Spice Band?
Roger Taylor. You mean Maxie Taylor?
Maxie Taylor.
Yes, Maxie died a couple of years ago. Great man.
I heard this with my own 2 ears. Mitch started to rehearse. Not a drum beat. Not a drum beat. And Hubert came and started to ask what happened, and Hubert started not a drumbeat. So I said to myself, don't tell me Maxi, back in Otamino. Maxi said these words to me, where are these fellas was all the time?
Wow.
Where were these fellas all the time? I've never heard such beautiful voices. So Maxi played the drums on that show. Again, I would say that those two shows were standout shows. CBC has the tapes there, and they hope they will never, ever get the way they've done, because it has on, when you look at that show, there are three people who have gone to the great beyond.
Clarence.
Go ahead.
Hubert. And Midge.
And Midge.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're all on stage at the same time.
Incredible.
That's nostalgia.
It is.
That's something that happened in 1993. And if you see it now, as far as 2020 is concerned, it stands out as class.
But Mark, let me show you how brilliant you are. 1993, which is 27 years ago, but 28 years before that, making the rounds on social media right now, being shared on various platforms, is this one. It's the greatest ever. Al Jilks and Mark Williams present Saturday Spectacular at the Globe, Saturday, September 25th, 1965. Two shows, 5 p.m., 8:30 p.m., featuring Barbados' top 20, Mike Wilkinson, The Opels, Lou Drayton III, Richard Stout, The Silhouettes, Norma Stout, Joe Tudor, and others. Vic Brewster, the MC. Children, half price at the matinee only. Tickets now on sale at Music City and Elmer's Supermarket, Spicetown. 1965, Mark.
No,
wow.
No, I go back to that.
I just want to say Ken Jones is who shared that out here. So
yeah, I promoted All Along by myself. And then I realized that Al wrote some beautiful articles in the Calypso.
Mm-hmm.
I was supportive in entertainment. So when I suggest to Al, she'd get involved in promotion. Al said, I don't know much about promotion. She would have to show me. Today, Al is considered one of the regional promoters.
Correct.
No. That show, that we now talk about, Saturday Spectacular, Vic Brewster was an MC, MCing at, was a DJ at CBC. Never MC. And I asked Vic to come and express himself as far as the stage is concerned. And Vic said, no problem. That was the first show that Vic Brewster ever MC in Barbados.
Wow.
Right? Now, I can go further.
But hold on. He MCs a show of that quality with a man like Joe Tudor as part of the cast. And Joe Tudor himself would have MC many nights at various venues and was a top man at that time too.
Joe Tudor is not only a top man. Joe Tudor is one of the top promoters in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
Several of the acts that they could not touch because it was a juvenile. Joe Tudor did Maria Anderson. Joe Tudor did Louis Armstrong. He used to work with the Hill Brothers of Jamaica. And they were the ones who pushed a lot of top entertainers through the Caribbean at the time. Just before me, I fell in second position because the Hill Brothers stopped bringing acts to the Caribbean. But Joe Tudor that night was something else.
Mm-hmm.
Then Michael Wilkinson. But what was important, Ronnie, was that it was the first time and the only time that the Globe was rented for a double attraction, a matinee and a night show. First and only time. Since then, it was not rented for that purpose. And we did well with that because the sample, the Silhouettes was on. Those are the days when Foster played with the Silhouettes, Robert Foster.
Okay.
Right? So all in all, when I look at the transition of entertainment in Barbados, I have done my share, and I've took my licks, and I've took several things. And all I want to say this now, of all the shows that I've done in Barbados, I have to look back and say a big thank you to people like Frank Pardo. Alfred Wagner, Peter Barbados. You know, those you walk in and what's his name? Oyer Gill, as advertising manager. And he just wanted to know that the station could get involved. And the station got involved in several promotions that they've had. And that gave me an understanding that, you know, that the people are watching you. People understand what you're doing. People go, you remember Oyer Gill, who became the manager of CBC, but was advertising manager down at River Road.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he stretched out. Frank Pardo stretched out. Alfred Pardo stretched out. And it meant that these were people who were willing to help you move along. But the first show that I've ever had in Barbados now that was sponsored. Listen, what is it? All the shows that I've had, nobody was prepared to put up money to support a local show. But I was fortunate. The Empire Theatre had a picture show called What's That? And it had on several artists, including Rufus Thomas. So I made connections with Queen's Booking Agency for
Rufus Thomas.
Richard Thomas, right? The Dog Man.
That's right.
And I got him booked for a date in Barbados. This was 1973. You know that I did everything with that show, and I got a sponsor. The British American Tobacco supported the show. They print tickets. They paid for advertising. They did everything that made me feel that I was coming around. And then about a week before the show, I got a call. The then Minister of Trade called me. Bradford Tate. He said, "Williams, boy, you have a problem." I said, "What?" He said, "You know that we're in the end of the crisis and we can't allow the lights and different things to go on at the stadium. How far are you committed to the artists?" I said, "Well, apart from committed to the artists, I've sent you all my money. I've got advertising money spending." And he said, "Well, unfortunate, you got to call off the show." You can imagine that.
Wow.
"You've got to call off the show. You've got to..." I said, "But I can't do this now because I am committed to the sponsors. I'm committed to the people who bought tickets. I'm committed to the artists and the airline company." He said, "Well, I can't do anything about that." So quick thinking, I said, "Well," it was a Saturday. Quick thinking, I said, "Well, suppose we hold the show." This is supposed to be a 9 o'clock show.
Right.
A 9 o'clock show.
And all the shows with the international acts that you did would have been in the night.
Would have been in the night. This is the only one now that got to start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
So you could have the show, Williams, but you can't have the lights of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so far gone that I had to go with the show for 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Again, that was a beautiful show, a successful show. Rufus performed, and it was a whole exciting show that afternoon. But again, I lost a percentage of the audience because it was a Saturday.
Right.
I lost a percentage of the audience because it had to start at 4 o'clock.
Right.
In order for me not to use the lights at the stadium. So it wasn't an easy thing as a promoter, but the determination to make things work.
But Mark, you spoke about Stevie Wonder, Rufus Thomas, and all these great artists that have come to Barbados. Are there any persons of that generation that you made contact with but weren't able to bring them in? For example, people like Wilson Pickett, people like Otis Redding before he died, James Brown. Who were some of the artists that you tried to get but you couldn't get?
Let me go to the top. Don't mind, there's a friend of mine who says that was not done. I made arrangements. I had the contract in my hand for Bob Marley.
Wow.
I don't know if you remember the time when Bob was touring the world and it included Trinidad and Barbados, and he was held in Trinidad for pot, marijuana.
Okay.
Right? The situation was that that Bob's contract was one of the most difficult contracts for a promoter to have. There were certain things, as far as I know, on that we were committed to.
The rider.
The rider, mm-hmm. We were committed to. We were committed to finding a beach house, which we found, with a pastor. We were committed that he was allowed to do his thing, and he would not be charged if he was held.
Wow.
It was also a situation that was frightening. Now, the tax, performance tax, is normally taken out of the performer's contract. His contract was different. That no tax would be taken from what he was working for. Now, only common sense. Only a promoter that don't understand will go for a waiter that says, you must find a beach house. You must find a playing field that is adequate. And you must turn around, apart from that if the person get caught, that is the responsibility of the promoter. And if the person who is the promoter allow the artist to perform and then the taxes from the performance fee, then you're liable. So we agreed that when he come out of Trinidad, that he proceed on the tour. That was one. Al could tell you this, because this is one of the early days of Al suggested. I made arrangements with Queen's Booking Agency. I was sailing then for Otis Redding. Unfortunately, we got the date. We got everything. Even was carried in the paper that Otis would be appearing in Barbary soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of a clear blue sky, fate, Otis got killed in the plane crash. And that was the end.
December 1967, December the 10th, actually.
That's right.
Wow.
So that was out. I must also tell you that there was another star that I was told, another artist I was told, you better not touch her, otherwise you're going to be sorry. Aretha Franklin was connected to Queen's Booking Agency.
Mm-hmm.
I was given the go-ahead with the date. But the guy inside the office who was her what I call accounts, told me, Lil Williams, I don't think you could accommodate Aretha. She's a difficult artist. I said, he said she will walk on, or she'll come to the venue and she will insist that something's not right and she will not perform. Fortunately, I was in Queen's Booking Agency and Aretha was doing the London tour then. I don't know if you remember when she did the London tour.
Okay.
And a call came through and she said she was not going to perform. Why are you not going to perform? She don't feel it performing. I was in the office. You don't feel it perform.
Wow.
So he said, well, look, there's only one thing for me to do. There's a couple hours out, I will come. And he left and went straight to London and got a week to perform. But fortunate, a year or so after I had him, Barbara, this is my guest, Timothy Slinger. I don't know if you've ever seen those pictures, Timothy Slinger and the Draytons. Had an opportunity of meeting her. And also Nina Simone. I don't know if you remember Nina Simone.
Oh, legend. My baby just cares for me. I put a spell on you and those great songs.
Yeah. There's a print photograph of both of them cooling out on Paradise. And there's also photographs of Timothy Slinger and the Jaytons meeting Aretha Franklin at the airport.